So welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we look at cult TV from the pre-2000s. And today we have with us Lisa.
Hi.
We've got Alex.
Hey.
Angus.
Hello.
Gypsy.
Hello.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And today we're following a series that we've had. This is the third in the series for Supernatural Investigation. And we started that with Omega Factor, and then we moved on to Kolchak, Night Stalker, and today we're looking at X-Files. And I think it was Lisa that determined that X-Files was the...
I'm a little bit excited right now.
There's a smidge. You probably hear her smile over the MP3.
Yeah, I think you'll hear the smiling. So, Lisa, what was the episode you picked?
I picked Squeeze, which is Season 1, Episode 3. It's the Eugene Toombs episode, for those of you who know your X-Files. And I'm a big fan of the Monster of the Week. And to me, Toombs is the Monster of the Week. He's the one that stands out to me. And not in a Creature from the Blue Lagoon type of thing. It's just that kind of threatening Monster of the Week. I hope people are going to enjoy this.
So you obviously watched the odd episode.
This is confession X-Files. Time, full confession time. So in the 90s, I was a little bit obsessed with the X-Files.
Only nine seasons.
Once it started to jump the shark, I did peter off. But the first, five or six seasons, I think it was, I was in hardcore. And to the point where a group of us would watch the episodes and then we'd call each other on the phone afterwards to talk about it. I used to record every episode on TV VHS. In the 90s, I had scrapbooks of clippings from the X-Files. This was in my teens. I was probably about 14 to about 16, 17.
Yeah, because if a lot older, that might be a bit weird to have a scrapbook of your favourite show.
Yeah, no, and I was a little bit in love with David Duchovny.
Oh.
I won't lie, I was. And, I wanted to marry David Duchovny and I wanted to be Gillian Anderson. I still want to be Gillian Anderson a little bit because she's a little bit awesome.
So, Alex, did you watch X-Files at all? Not a bit, no.
It's one of those series that's I don't think this appeals to me, so I just didn't watch it at the time. But then again, I probably was, a lot younger and therefore not interested in that sort of thing.
What were you watching at the time?
Well, I was probably watching, kids' programs because I was, 10 or something.
Pokemon or something.
Angus, so you haven't watched any X-Files, have you? Or?
No, not an episode. I've heard about it, but never actually seen any of it.
Right, so education coming up. And
evidently, yes.
And Gypsy, have you ever seen anything from X-Files?
It's like the bad version of Men in Black, right?
The bad version of Men in Black? Could
bad
be.
Bad as in malevolent or bad as in bad quality?
As in, it doesn't compare to the Men in Black TV show.
Oh, well,
there
was you a get TV to see.
Show? Yeah, there was an animated show.
It was an animated TV show. So good.
Maybe it's better. You haven't seen an episode yet, so we'll
find
out.
The music scares the crap out of me.
Well, that's better. Already.
It's okay, we'll just make sure they cover your ears.
There's one Simpsons episode where, spoiler alert, there's an alien X-Files sort of episode with Mr. Burns, and it scared me so much. I wasn't able to watch it until I was 18.
My sister was the same, so I'd be down in the living room watching the episode. I'd be so excited. Lights off, TV cranked up, and as soon as that theme song started, my sister would come out. You're like, turn that off, it's scaring me! Every single time, poor thing. I feel for her now, but at the time I was turn it up louder.
Mine was conditioning. It was it would come on straight after The Simpsons, so I had to stay up and watch The Simpsons, but as soon as X-Files came on, as soon as the opening theme started, they were right, you've got to go, this show's scary. And so I honestly believed it.
You still do now.
Scary in the fact that it could be bad quality.
It's probably more of that going to be happening tonight.
One watching from behind the couch today then.
I'm fully expected to be let down today too, by the way, guys. So it's alright. I'm bracing myself.
Okay, so Jeanette, have you ever watched any X-Files?
Watched probably the first couple of series when it was on.
Couple of series, so you've actually seen quite a lot.
I would think between work and everything else at the time.
Okay, and I watched a bit. I sort of got this impression that the writers of the show had no idea what was about to happen. Neville and myself. And I sort of didn't mind myself not knowing, but I was a bit worried the writers didn't actually know what was going on either. And
you might have been onto something.
And so that put me off a little bit, I've got to say.
To Lisa, I love story arcs. And so when it started, I was actually a little bit, this is a story with an arc. And then it sort of, to me, devolved down into Monster of the Week, which interests me less.
Yeah.
I'm not a Monster of the Week person, so I lost interest.
I got into the whole conspiracy, the government's against us, and they're all planning to, I didn't get into that type of stuff.
It didn't go anywhere.
They
didn't take it anywhere. Yeah. It felt like it was there and then it wasn't, and it wasn't consistent.
The only thing I really liked about that story arc is I used to always really like the cigarette smoking man, and he was literally like, I think it's William B. Davis. He still pops up in like shows that are set in Canada. He was an acting teacher, a drama teacher in Vancouver, and his job was just as an extra, and all he was supposed to do was just stand in a corridor and smoke a cigarette and look sinister. And he got such a buzz that he ended up becoming this massive character on the show. I don't think he ever really said a lot.
So was he like kind of like the fringe observers or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what he did was just being in rooms and smoking a cigarette, and he became this kind of cult figure.
Okay, so I guess we'll get on with it. We'll shut down for a second and watch season 1, episode 3, Squeeze.
Just quickly, is there actually aliens in this, unlike a makeup
actor? No aliens in this
Supernatural?
One. There's usually lots of aliens in the X-Files, but not in this episode.
I'm glad you let me down now.
Not in this episode.
It's too supernatural, but not actually have anything.
Off we go. So what did people think? I actually quite liked it. I thought it actually had a fairly good feel to it. The acting wasn't that bad. It wasn't too cheesy.
I just want to hear everyone else's opinion.
I agree with you, though. I liked it. There's a couple of other shows that I also like. There's Bones, Lucifer, and Castle, which have got very similar premises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very similar. The only difference is they have more personality and don't have to be a piece of cardboard.
Yes.
Good-looking cardboard.
Yeah. Cardboard. Yeah, he's acting a personality type, I suppose.
Mm.
He's supposed to be very cool and calm.
Very dry.
Yeah, but I thought it was okay. It was better than I expected.
Yeah.
Not that I thought it was actually watchable, which is not what I expected at all.
Ouch.
What did you think, Alex?
No, I just thought it was so cheesy. And I think also just that the whole man can be all stretchy and squeezing his faces would probably be weird and novel. But now it's like, okay, fine, just because I've read creepier stuff online.
No, it's not new now.
Yeah.
Back then, I'm sure it was.
But yeah, so it's fun. Like, okay, this will be weird and creepy too back then. But yeah, it's like half the point of this podcast. We get to see how spooky old stuff was. I think, because like, you were probably young enough to think, oh, this is really fun television, whereas maybe somebody your age now would have back in the 90s thought that was cheesy anyway, and that was part of the fun.
Yes. Yes, there was a little bit of that. I always enjoyed those Monsters of the Week where it was a little bit, you know, it wasn't as ridiculous as the Kolchak with the crazy, what was it, that crazy monster type of thing? It was a dude in an outfit.
Yeah,
it was an obvious guy in an outfit. It's not as obvious as that, but it does have that real feel for that silly Monster of the Week.
It compares to Kolchak. Kolchak is basically like ridiculous and hard to basically take it seriously. Was this, it almost feels like, oh, this could be a thing that could happen. I mean, allegedly, like the whole guy can hibernate and come to just fits on livers, but it felt less ridiculous, as though apart from the cheesiness, it felt like a cohesive story instead of like, let's be cheesy about the whole thing, like it was compared to the last episode.
Yeah, Kolchak was much more cheesy than
that. Yeah, it's cheesy more like in the delivery of it, where it's like, especially like, oh, he's attacking, and it's like cheesy effect. I think it's more cheesy in the delivery than necessarily cheesy in the plot line. I'm sure, like, if it was that kind of episode, probably would be written today, but like be an A plot with a B plot in it as well. Whereas, like, just this, I don't think you could fill out an episode of sci-fi thing today just because it's a bit light, and I think it's like compared to the way it's written today, it's because like you'd expect them to solve everything in 2 minutes and therefore have the chase on afterwards.
Was a good point. There was no B story in this. I think the B story was that Scully had a pre-existing friendship with the other investigator, but that was really the A story. But there was no
B. I think also it's good as well, like you have to pick this episode because it gives the kind of feel of how much of the rest of the FBI do we get to see in the show normally. Because I felt like maybe a good premise of like, oh, Fox Mulder is kind of weird. And it gives the idea of like, it's not like this organisation that goes out and finds weird stuff, it's this weirdo and he's got an accomplice in Dana Scully.
Yeah.
And I think it gives that vibe of, this is a weird thing, it's supposed to be weird, he's a weird guy who comes with these, not conspiracy theories, but these weird supernatural side of the norm ideas. Yeah, it feels like, this is the first episode I've first unit of it, and it's a good introductory of this is how the characters are being portrayed, rather than just so the FBI is keeping things under wraps. So the FBI is doing what it does in the real world. It's just this one guy thinks that things are weirder than they really are.
And he's viewed as a nutcase.
Yeah, and it's the thing. It's like, I felt as though coming into it, it's like, oh, the FBI does the secret stuff, and Imelda and Scully just happen to be on the team that does the weird stuff. But it feels more like, oh, the FBI does what the FBI normally does. It's just one of the guys thinks, oh, hey, it could be aliens. And I did feel as though as well, like him talking about the alien stuff, like the policeman being like, oh, hey, do you think it was like little green men? And he was like, no, it's actually grey. I feel like he was half taking the piss, but he was being all very good.
He was completely taking the piss.
Yeah.
It did remind me a lot of Fringe.
It did.
I think there's a lot of elements.
Like, I think in like the second or third episode, they basically cover that.
But I've got to say, this actually felt more realistic than Fringe.
Yes.
For the reasons you...
I haven't seen Fringe.
Fringe is actually slightly more cheesy than this appeared to be.
They really harness a little bit of that cheese, which I think I enjoyed, the bit of the cheese.
Because
the actual characters themselves, even though Mulder believes in all this stuff, they're very dry, serious, grey, suited FBI agents.
That's right,
they don't have a B story because they have no lives. Like, there's no family to go home to.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, Mulder goes home and keeps researching little green men. Scully usually runs a bath like she did in this episode. There's not a lot going on in their lives.
Was Fringe, they're much more rounded personalities.
A bit more complex.
And so even Astrid, they finally round out a little bit. They give her a little bit of backstory.
Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Took a while, though.
It did.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure I'd agree with I knew what you were talking about.
No.
You will soon. You will.
Angus, what did you think of that episode?
It's a bad copy of Fringe, really. The entire time I was watching it, I was just almost imagining Peter and Olivia in their places. Like, the characters were quite different, but the roles were kind of...
But there's no Walter.
That's the thing. I couldn't get past that. It made me want to watch Fringe.
Yeah.
Right. I guess this is the problem for modern audiences watching this is that they've got things that have stepped on the shoulders of giants
of
so
the
many
past.
Things. And got, like Warehouse 13.
Yes.
Terrible.
There's a lot of Warehouse 13 in that episode, wasn't there?
Sanctuary. All these different things that were based loosely.
Not quite.
I wouldn't say that Sanctuary is as much like this as you'd think.
Admittedly, I've only seen the first episode of Sanctuary. The same feel of them capturing aliens.
It's all different
either way.
I can understand how you form a full opinion of Sanctuary on watching the first episode.
What's your opinion on this?
I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm quite happy there wasn't as much cheese in it.
I also thought I could see similarities to Omega Factor in that this is presenting this as something that could really happen, which is what Omega Factor is doing. It's
trying to make it seem real.
Seem real. This could really be happening. And they all have the same cover of this is a government organisation working on secret that nobody else respects or takes seriously. So they all have that similar premise.
Except in this case, it's like everybody doesn't take it seriously except for Mulder as well. There's like a comparison to the conspiracy theory nature of Omega Factor.
It was interesting watching Omega Factor a few months ago and then watching this, and I thought, if you took away that music, a lot of it was the droning music. You took away the music and then watched the two side by side, there really wouldn't, other than the fashion sense, there's not a lot of difference between them. They're very similarly made.
When I first saw this, I immediately thought Omega Factor, oh, this is inspired by Omega Factor.
There's a different premise, of course, and they've placed it inside government, which is a standard American thing to do.
Omega Factor's inside government. They're a government.
But he was a journalist.
No, he was a journalist, yeah.
He was, but the organisation is a government organisation. Yeah. She works for.
Yes, that's right.
They're like a secret MI5 or MI6.
I think it's probably also as well that I'm sure they get a lot of flack if they had the FBI's covering up stuff from the government minders who have probably got control over scripts and so forth. They'd probably be rather upset if they said, oh, the FBI are doing this evil stuff, they're hiding from us.
Oh, that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah.
that's part of the shadowy government organisational stuff.
Yeah, I'm just thinking maybe, like, say the aesthetic of like in the British show in the 70s being all, this is a conspiracy, they're trying to control our minds, versus probably American in the 90s. Again, bringing back to the fact that it felt as though there's no conspiracy they're hiding really here yet.
Yeah.
I mean, there probably are conspiracies that are hiding, which are revealed later in episodes, but like it feels as though, say, the rest of the FBI is the organisation of like NCIS or something like that, where they basically just do government-y stuff.
Actually, that's an interesting point. Just thinking back on a lot of cult stuff, most of the English stuff is, mind control. Most of the American stuff is, look over there. Not over here, over there. There's nothing here. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, the government's all good.
Yeah.
So there seemed to be no sort of underlying story. Did an underlying story develop, or did it tend to stay episode by episode?
That was a standalone one, and then you've got your conspiracy, shadowy government episodes that kind of run through it. Obviously, like I said at the beginning, I purposely picked the Monster of the Week episode because it was a good standalone. It gave you a good feel for the characters, gave you a good feel for the dynamics, but you didn't have to understand the whole cigarette-smoking man, shadowy government stuff that ran through that storyline, and I found at times I couldn't keep track of some of the stuff that was going on. No one quite knew. And I don't know whether it was like, oh, today I'm a good guy, today I'm a bad guy. I don't know who's good, bad, and I don't know who's bad, good. And I don't know whether it was that or whether it was just that
it didn't go anywhere. I felt it didn't go anywhere, and they had this nice idea, but nobody seemed to know where to take it, and it could have been
really paid off to me.
No, story writers, and that's where I lost it.
But one of the head story writers from X-Files was Vince Gilligan, who went on to make Breaking Bad. There was a lot of the story writers from this who I can't think off the top of my head what any of the other ones were. Vince Gilligan's the most famous one. But yeah, they all went on to do different shows. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them popped up in Fringe as well. Yes, and,
possibly. Because there's certainly similar elements to Fringe.
That's it. Became
similar feel. Like the directorial look of it, the look of it, the feel of it was similar to a Fringe episode. The way it started, the setup reminded me very much of Fringe.
That's it. And they rebooted X-Files a few years ago. And it was good, but it was nice kind of being able to sit down and watch the episodes. And both my husband and I, who were big X-Files fans before we met, by the time I met him, I was like, nah, it's jumped the shark. I've stopped watching it. And to be able to both sit down and both at the same time go, oh my God, so excited to watch this, you know. It was a bit of a moment. I never watched the second, they did two seasons of the reboot, and I never ended up watching the second season. It's not because I didn't love it, it's just its time had gone.
There's a lot of series that they're bringing back, or movies they're bringing back, and it felt as though they bring it back because it's nostalgic or because they've run out of ideas.
Felt like that with Red Dwarf, the reboot.
I was the same with Red Dwarf, and that was another show. It was X-Files and Red Dwarf were my two huge fandom shows, and it's 25 years ago. I'm a completely different person now as well. So I'm watching it with different eyes as well, and it doesn't have that same zeitgeisty
feel. Yeah, and it's also like you've been through 2.5 decades of new TV coming through with doing new things.
That's it.
This stuff is so tame compared to the stuff you can find online today.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So where it succeeded, actually, is that it left a lot to your imagination. Does he get out? Does he continue living in a cell block? You don't know, but he might get out, but he might not.
But he might!
Yeah. I think that one thing that was really good as well was the fact that, you know, with Kolchak, they showed the big scary monster and it was obvious it was a dude in a suit and it looked really crazy. And I was wondering how they were going to do it with this because they've got a budget, but it's not a huge budget, especially season one. And they kind of showed him about to squeeze into things and about to squeeze out. Yeah. And you could see that there was no trickery, there was no CGI.
There was a lot
a lot that was just kind of left to the imagination. Mm. You see him, like, he's just squeezed out of a small opening, and you can see that it's just his feet that are still sticking out of it, and they've just caught him at the tail end, and they've just done those clever little
I think
if they had done CGI, it would just look totally fake to us today. So I'm glad they didn't. It looks like it was about to stretch his arm out, and it does look like that's what's happening, even though there's no actual trickery going on. I don't think it's just
more a fisheye lens than an actual CGI. Yeah.
Like, they just layered the hand on top and then stretched it with a bit of Photoshop magic, which is what I've been doing all day today. Yes. Recognized
it. I'm sure they did that in the 90s.
Yeah.
They did.
With an Apple II. Yes. One thing X-Files is really known for is the whole UFO conspiracy cover-up. Of course, we didn't see any of that today, but it seems to be a bit of a unique thing to X-Files, and whenever people think back on X-Files, they always think of the UFO conspiracy. Is that something that's covered heavily in the show, or is it just one aspect? I mean, this was a genetic, there's the supernatural aspect, and then there's the alien aspect. What percentage do you think that X-Files covers those things?
I don't know about percentage, but there tended to be about three different categories. You had your Monster of the Week, which is what we watched.
Yep.
You had your ongoing conspiracy theory, which tended to be alien. And sometimes the Monster of the Week was aliens. I think the pilot episode, the Monster of the Week, was, they thought it was aliens, but there was so much, you know, there's bright lights in the sky, but they never prove anything. It's a little bit elusive. And so then you had your conspiracy theory, which was very much aliens, little green men, conspiracy cover-ups, government cover-up stuff. Grey men. And then you'd have your kind of quirky episodes, and you'd have your weird ones where they'd have a bit of fun, which sometimes they melded into the Monster of the Week.
Did they do much supernatural, or was it...
Oh, Yeah, plenty. But I don't think in later seasons they tended to give you more of the answers, and I think that's where it fell flat. In more of these earlier seasons, there would be stuff where, you know, they would see something or something would happen and Mulder would go, aliens, and get all excited. And like, I think the pilot episode, it was like they had weird puncher marks on their body and he's like, it's aliens. And Scully's like, you are insane. Like, there's no proof of anything. And I think at one stage there's a couple of lights in the sky which could be a UFO. But other than that, there was no proof of anything. And they kind of kept it a bit like that. And then I think they started to reveal more and reveal more and it became a bit... Did the veil too much?
If you run a TV series for a 9 series, I guess you've got to reveal something in the end.
Yeah. And
Scully gets abducted by aliens and stuff. And it all gets... Sorry, guys, I've blown it for you now.
No, I can't watch it anymore. How terrible.
I might watch the odd episode just to see how it pans out through the series. So next we're looking at another series as a special in the...
Because it breaks
our rules a little bit. It's over the year 2000. Fringe.
Is this a US show?
Yes.
Fringes. Okay, I am excited for bangs.
After X-Files, there was a lot of different spin-off shows. Not spin-off directly, but a lot of shows that were trying to cash in on the success of the X-Files. Yeah. But I think the fact that no one's brought them up as a suggestion just shows how successful they became.
Also, were these shows?
There was one called Dark Skies that was set in the 60s. Millennium was one that was a direct spin-off.
There were
so many, but I can't even think of them.
Wasn't Millennium an angel one or something like that?
I think so. And there was the same thing. They had Lance Hendrickson in it.
Bishop from Alien. Yeah,
they kind of tried to make him a little bit light and fluffy, but he's just a little bit too kind of...
And there's an episode where X-Files crossover with Cops, and he officially says, this is actually a crossover, which means technically X-Files crossover with real life, because Cops is a real life show. Therefore,
it's all real.
And because they're all Fox shows, and they were all successful Fox shows, so that's why, they did the crossover with The Simpsons, they did the crossover with Cops.
Yeah.
And they did a few of those quirky ones. They did one, obviously, like the Simpsons one, but they had one where they were consultants on a TV show that was like The X-Files, and it was just, they did some really strange ones where they kind of got a bit quirky, which was fun, but they're not a good example
if
to show
you want
for
something
that
actually rivals X-Files. I do love this. There's BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you've got the equivalent of the two main characters. One actually looks like, not Scully, the other one.
Mulder.
And he does not believe in aliens at all. He, just has no care for the supernatural. And then the other one is, aliens. This person got randomly murdered in the middle of the street. How did it happen? Aliens. Actually really well done and fantastic.
I've heard Unsolved's really good.
It is.
There's an English version called The Parapod, a podcast. And that's the thing, a lot of this stuff now, they're not TV shows, it's podcasts. And The Parapod's the same. It's these two English guys, and one of them will put together all this information about some paranormal phenomena, and the other guy will just sit there going, that's crap. This is crap. This is ridiculous. I can't believe you spent the last week researching this rubbish. It's pretty much like that. It's brilliant, though.
That is literally BuzzFeed Unsolved, except in the last couple of seasons, the one that's like, nah, Shane that's like, nah, it's got nothing to do. He's actually getting into it, going, I want to see where you go with this.
He's
think
an enabler.
Aliens did it with the candlestick? All right.
Time for the wrap-up. So that was Classic Cult TV Club, looking at an episode of X-Files, and we hope to see you next time for... maybe hear us next time for an episode of Fringe, where we'll break the rules a little bit and go post-2000.
The truth is out there.
The truth is in here.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say that episode was an absolute success, but the amount of banter we could get out.
Thank you very much. See you.
Bye.
Bye.